Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? There are very few physical assets you can invest in that are proven to stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia, and Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold that doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're going live to the United Kingdom. Graham Phillips back with us, who was just with me several months ago as we talked about his latest work called Strange Fate, an extraordinary true story of paranormal discovery. Well, he's got a new one out called The Mystery of Doggerland, Atlantis in the North Sea. He's one of Britain's best-selling nonfiction authors for 40-plus years, has published at least 18 books worldwide. These include investigations into the death of Alexander the Great, The Secret Life of William Shakespeare, The Mystery of King Arthur. His books also cover his search for historical relics such as the Holy Grail, the Ark of the Covenant, the Staff of Moses. Graham has been described as a historical detective, a modern-day adventurer, and a real-life Indiana Jones. Graham, I always love having you on the program. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks, George. Great to be back on again.
You think the Ark of the Covenant's in Ethiopia in that church, like everybody says?
Well, the real weird thing about the Ark of the Covenant, there seems to have been two of them. There's one that's mentioned being made at Mount Sinai when Moses goes up the mountain and gets the Ten Commandments. That's eventually put into the Jerusalem Temple, which is specifically built to contain it. That's around about 1000 BC. And then when Solomon, who has the temple built, dies, his two sons end up arguing with each other. The kingdom breaks in two, and supposedly, according to the Ethiopian tradition, one of the sons of Solomon had a replica ark made, put into the temple in order to fool the temple guardians that it was still there, and took the original one to Ethiopia. So there seems to be two arks. One seems to have ended up in Ethiopia. One then ends up in the area around Petra, which is in Jordan, in the Sinai wilderness. And both of them have vanished.
It's truly amazing. Now, your new book is called The Mystery of Doggerland. First of all, what is Doggerland?
Well, it's the name of an area of dry land that once connected what's now the British Isles to continental Europe, France, Germany, and Scandinavia. You probably know that during the Ice Age, when sea levels were lower, there was a land bridge between America and what's now Russia. And this is where many people kind of crossed over that land bridge and began to colonize America. I mean, this is, you know, many thousands of years ago. Well, nothing quite so spectacular, but a smaller version of that joined the British Isles to continental Europe, and it remained above sea level as the temperature gradually warmed after the end of the Ice Age, and there were still people living there who most archaeologists assume were just hunter-gatherers. Right the way through, from around about 10,000 BC, they were still there then. And then by about 7,000 BC, the water levels had risen, and the people who had lived there either drowned or managed to migrate somewhere else. But what's fascinating is it's just been realized that because of the pressure of the ice that used to be over all of Britain, except for the very south, particularly over the north, the land was pushed downwards. And then as the ice melted, it gradually over thousands of years began to rise again, which meant that until around as recently as 5,000 years ago, part of this area of land that joined Britain to the continent called Doggerland, a small island, perhaps about the size of the state of, well, it's not quite large, actually, probably about the size of the state of Rhode Island,
mm-hmm.
still existed off the northeast coast of Scotland. That's what Doggerland is.
Now, the North Sea, for a lot of people, I'll talk about the boundaries, lies between Great Britain, Denmark, Norway, Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, and France. It's 600 miles long. It's 360 miles wide. It's pretty good size, isn't it, Graham?
Yes, it is. But it's very difficult to know what people were actually doing there 10,000 years ago, because that is quite deep down below the surface of the sea. But the area that didn't sink until about 5,000 BC, now that archaeologists have suddenly been able to map the floor of the sea with radar and sonar and other sophisticated instruments to find, astonishingly, that there are stone circles down there, like similar to Stonehenge, but at the bottom of the sea and very much older than Stonehenge. And it's beginning to look as though the people who eventually built Stonehenge around 3000 BC originally, they may have come from this island that sank.
Interesting. How advanced might that civilization have been, Graham?
Well, there's one tiny part of that civilization that's that island that still survives above sea level, and that's a tiny little island called Fair Isle in the North Sea. And what's been discovered there by archaeologists is quite incredible. Firstly, everybody thinks that the people in Finland invented the sauna around about 1000 BC. They found what must have been functioning saunas, you know, sauna baths, that are 7,000 years old on this island. That's pretty amazing to start off with. Secondly, they were able to build sea wall defenses where they put lots and lots of rocks in a great big pile in a great big long embankment. And then somehow, nobody quite knows how, they managed to get heat going on those stones, maybe by burning something around them, and nobody knows quite what, to vitrify the stones. In other words, make them into a solid wall, melt stone. And really, you need incredibly high temperatures to do that. These people were able to do that, and the evidence is there.
Amazing, truly amazing. Why do you think the island of the continent of Atlantis, Doggerland, disappeared? What happened?
Well, it's basically what I explain in the book is that the publishers decided to call it Atlantis in the North Sea, not specifically because that was what Plato in Greek times referred to as Atlantis,
mm-hmm.
but because it is one of many places throughout the world that sank beneath the waves at the end of the Ice Age. Now, most people used to think that civilization began about 5,000 years ago with in the Middle East with the Sumerians and the ancient Egyptians and so on. And before that, people were just living in tiny villages. There was nothing like civilization. But it is now known throughout the world, for after many years of archaeology, that there were proto-civilizations that had cities that, with as many as 1,000 people living in them that were built of mud bricks or even stone. I mean, this had been the discovery of places like Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, which is like 12,000 years old, it seems now. And it seems that a lot of the places that began as proto-civilizations, perhaps shortly after the end of the Ice Age, say 12,000 years ago, were all along the coast, and the rising sea levels was they were sunk beneath the waves. So I looked throughout the world and found there was many different places where there were traditions of and archaeological discoveries of ancient civilizations similar to Plato's descriptions of Atlantis.
So there may have been many, many Atlantis all over the world.
Yeah, South America, North America, Europe, China, India, you name it. They've all got their legends of the same kind of thing.
What happened to the inhabitants of most of these places? Were they able to get away?
Well, in some places, the sea levels rose gradually over a period of many hundreds of years. They migrated, if I'm right, the people who built Stonehenge had come from Doggerland. They had time to migrate. But in other places, when entire ice shelves collapsed into the sea and broke off huge parts of certain areas, like parts of Norway and parts of Newfoundland, this sent huge great tsunamis across whole oceans and drowned people overnight. This is certainly what Atlantis that Plato describes, which was at the mouth of the Mediterranean. That seems to be what happened there.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless. Real estate can crash like in 2008. Economies built on a mountain of debt can fall like a house of cards. And there are very few physical assets you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia. It's why people are flocking to it now and why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold can let you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold, and the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket to make that change. To learn more, text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Let me ask you this again. Can your IRA or 401k weather an economic storm? If not, call the people I trust, Birch Gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Tell us about some of the discoveries made by divers on the seabed off the north coast of Britain.
Yeah, well, this is fascinating because a lot of this is still under wraps. You know, they're not publishing a lot of what they've found at the moment because they don't want people diving out there and treasure hunting and wrecking the archaeology. But on mainland, Orkney Isles, which is at the top north of Scotland, there's a big stone circle about a good few hundred feet across. It's made of was originally made of about 100 stones. Around it is a ditch and embankment and many other monuments around it, which has been dated as around about 4,500 to 5,000 years old. Well, they found an identical one of these on the bottom of the sea about 2 or 3 miles out from the coast. And that has been dated, basically by the amount that the sea level has risen since that time, as being at least 2,000 years older than what was thought to be the oldest stone circle in the British Isles on the Orkney Isles.
That is truly remarkable. But why do they keep it under wraps?
Well, they don't want people... it got a lot of publicity when they first discovered this a few years back, and they had people going out there, diving down, thinking they were going to find treasures. But the people that built these stone circles and at the time of Stonehenge and maybe before that, weren't sort of making gold items or silver. They weren't creating things that would be treasure that you could sell to anyone. But this didn't stop people thinking there might be all sorts of things down there. So it's to stop people from destroying what they found before they can fully analyze it.
How did you uncover this story, Graham?
Well, I was actually at the time, I had a friend who was working on the original, the boats that were going out. Originally, when they were scanning the seabed, they weren't looking for, these were scientists, not archaeologists, they weren't looking for some ancient civilization. They were simply looking for buried obstacles in case there might be problems with laying pipelines and various things out to gas and oil rigs in the North Sea. It wasn't archaeological at all. But then they found this at least three separate stone circles, one of the ones I've mentioned, and I knew somebody who was actually working with those scientists who said, this could be interesting to you. So that's how I got to know about it to start off with.
Now, what about the possibilities that the Great Flood of Noah might have been the catalyst for the sinking of these continents or islands?
Well, it's certainly another one of these perhaps sunken early civilizations. What is now known is that sometime around, the dating is difficult, but it could be about 8,000 years ago.
Wow.
What is now, or a little bit earlier, what is now the Black Sea was in fact low-lying area. And there was this barrier of land separating the Mediterranean, the eastern end of the Mediterranean, from the Black Sea. And then, literally, as the gradual ice melted after the Ice Age and the Mediterranean kind of like became, the water levels grew higher, eventually it broke through this barrier that divided this low land to the east. And suddenly there was a waterfall, and archaeologists scientists have described this waterfall as being something like 100 times the size of the Niagara Falls, pouring over this great embankment and filling the Black Sea and flooding anyone who lived there. That could be the Noah's Flood.
And Graham, are you convinced that the Atlantis that Plato talked about is different from the Doggerland that we're talking about tonight in your new work?
Yes. The Atlantis that Plato refers to, he says quite specifically, is at the mouth, or at the what they call the Pillars of Hercules, which is the Strait of Gibraltar, which joins the Atlantic to the Mediterranean. And I've actually been doing research into a place that completely matches what he describes as being there and would have been sunk by an almighty tidal wave.
Naya, 4 years ago you wrote a book called Wisdom Keepers of Stonehenge. Is it possible that the creators of Stonehenge might have been these people who were on these islands that disappeared?
Yeah, well, certainly the one of Doggerland. That's the one I've done the most research into. I mean, it's a lot of work to look into Chinese myths and legends about whole cities being flooded, and then looking into the same in India, but the Mayans describe the same kind of thing. And again, it makes perfect sense. Early civilization started as the Ice Age finished. Throughout the world, but they didn't get going before they started to get flooded by rising sea levels. And the one I concentrated on most was Doggerland, and the archaeology, absolutely, as far as I'm concerned, proves that the people who built the stone circles and the large megalithic monuments in Britain, which include Stonehenge, and there was a lot of other monuments similar to that, they definitely came from Doggerland, from this island that existed off the coast of Britain until about 5000 BC, because the stone circles that they built were exactly the same as those that have been found under the water.
Could these events that happened so many years ago happen again today?
Well, it's very controversial. I mean, when I say in my book about, global warming, we're all experiencing it now. I mean, it's very controversial subject about whether or not there is such a thing as global warming. Some people swear it's real, some people swear it isn't. But what I do know for certain, and all scientists or anybody who investigated history does know, that there was an ice age. And that ice age finished because somehow the Earth heated up. Precisely why it heated up is a complete mystery. Some people think it's because the Earth slightly changed its orbit around the sun. Others believe it had something to do with increased volcanic activity. There are many explanations about why the ice age may have occurred, but it did occur. It occurred and basically kept most of humanity in the tropical areas of the world. And after it finished, lots of people migrated north and started, and south, and migrated away from the tropics, and began to start the first civilizations. And those civilizations hadn't really got going before there was further warming. Again, nobody knows quite why. Remaining ice is a lot further melted, and these civilizations ceased. If you believe in global warming, yes, it probably could happen again. If you don't, who knows?
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.